Welcome, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, March 18, 2007. It is now 4:01 p.m. Central Time. Folks, this station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. All right, and here we go. I think we have our caller right here. Christine?
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hold on, let me come to you. Oh, you called in a little bit early, but that's just fine. Thank you so much for being on our program this afternoon and making that special effort to be our guest.
Well, it is my pleasure. I appreciate the invitation to be on.
Christine, before we start, are you talking to me from a cellular phone or a landline?
A landline.
Okay. If you can speak most directly into the mouthpiece, that would help our reception, because sometimes my voice will be loud and yours will be muted and the listener will have difficulty adjusting. So we have to sort of modulate both to be on the same level.
I will certainly do my best.
Okay, very good. Well, Christine, ladies and gentlemen, Christine is vying for the presidency of the United States. She is the Libertarian. She's vying for the nominee for the Libertarian Party, and she's going to be interviewed today. Unlike most of our programs, we are going to ask people not to call in, and we will take your emails later on. If you do have emails regarding her candidacy, she will give you her email address, and you can send it directly to her. If you have email questions that you'd like to pose to the station, please send them to comments@libertytalkradio.com, or you can call in your questions to area code 903-551-2186, and I'll repeat that, 903-551-2186, and you can leave a voicemail. Otherwise, send it to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Christine, good afternoon, and I'm going to first ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners, please.
Thank you, Joe. I feel led to help save America, and that is why I'm seeking the U.S. presidency. I feel that the hope of America is in a third party, and I would actually say what we need is a second party, Joe, because the Republicans and the Democrats are one and the same. They are big government, big spenders, heavy oppression on the American taxpayer, the American citizen. I want to change that. I feel that we need to shrink the size, the power, and the cost of the federal government across the board. No other candidate from any party proposes the bold solutions that I do to get us on a path to a freer and better America. That is why I'm running. My background is in communications. I have made my living as a freelance writer working for national and international magazines. I am author of an internationally popular book. I have been deeply involved in politics since my early teens. I am now 40 years of age. For the last 3 or 4 years, due to my political writings and my speaking engagements, I've been being urged to run for national office. I was recipient of the Outstanding American Award in the year 2002. I was recipient of the Amigas International Peace Prize in 2000. Both of those were because of my nationwide humanitarian work in which I helped thousands of people in need across the country. I have done quite a few other things in my life in terms of communications and my political activism, but in brief, that's the background.
Well, Christine, just speaking to you, the few times that I did have the pleasure of doing so, you certainly appear to have the energy to run for president. I don't think I would have all that energy to do so. But let me ask you this. In what ways does... Well, first of all, let us talk about the cornerstones of your platform. What are the major issues and what are the solutions to those issues, please?
All right. I am dedicated to creating a federal government that is devoted only to the protection of your life, your liberty, and your property. That's why I want to end all unconstitutional big government programs. That's how I'm going to cut the big spending. and I'm going to give that back, that money back to you, the American taxpayer. All of the issues that people will find on my platform, and I would invite them to libertarianforpresident.com to read the long list and my expounding upon these issues, but every single issue there can come under the heading of shrinking the government. So, we take a look at my international policy. People ask me about Iraq. I would immediately withdraw all U.S. troops from Iraq, regardless of the consequences. It was a mistake to invade Iraq, and the quickest way to correct a mistake is to go as fast as possible the opposite way. Again, I would end U.S. government meddling in the affairs and conflicts of foreign nations. Again, this gets back to shrinking the government, the size, the power, and the cost of government. All of the U.S. government meddling in the affairs of foreign nations are not for the reasons that the government gives to us. They're good liars, because it is all related to the wrongful, the unconstitutional, the corrupt alliance of private corporations and the federal government. Again, it does nothing for the American people. We have no business having military bases in the Middle East and in Southeast Asia. Our military men and women should not be dying for the agendas of a few. So all of my international policies would again be shrinking the government. That also applies, for example, to the question of free trade. We do not have free trade, Joe. We like to dress it up, and again, the government likes to put nice names on it and call it free trade. But once again, it is the power of the federal government intervening and telling U.S. businesses who they can trade with, what they can trade, and which ones they have an embargo against. That is wrong. I want to see free trade. Again, shrink the government. Get the government out of your life as an American citizen and as an American business owner. Again, taking the federal government out, when I look at my domestic policies, I do not want the federal government to be mandating and regulating and making into crimes that which you do with your own body. Anything you wish to ingest, anything you wish to do with your body, they are jumping into our bedrooms. They are jumping into our private lives. Again, another example, the insane, quote, war on drugs. Again, it goes back to what I said. Shrink the government. The federal government has no business criminalizing private activity that adults do and making it a crime so that they can make their money off of it. I take a look at the families that war on drugs has destroyed. It does nothing to help the problems that families are faced with. What it does, it has created a huge criminal enterprise. That's where the violence is coming from. Again, everything on my platform across the board comes under shrinking the size, power, and cost of the federal government, thereby giving you, the American citizen, the freedom you deserve. It's time for People's America. It's time to give you, the people of America, that authority that you deserve.
How would you answer to those who would suggest that if we withdrew from the Middle East, the price of a gallon of gasoline would go to $5 or $7 or $10 a gallon?
I would leave it to the free market. Frankly, based upon my research, I do not believe that that would happen. I believe that it is a spurious argument, a tactic of fear that this government and both of the political parties use to keep the people in line and supporting these really illegal, these wrongful invasions of other countries. And even if that were the case, Joe, it is not the prerogative or the right of the U.S. government to invading sovereign nations because of the natural resources they have. That is fundamentally wrong.
The issue of abortion typically is avoided during presidential campaigns because there doesn't appear to be a politically correct answer. You had mentioned about we own our bodies, which sparked the thought of the abortion issue.
I understand.
I dislike talking about the, because I don't think it should be called the abortion issue or the right to life issue or whatever. I think all those are misnomers.
Every terminology they use
So, but you know where I'm coming from. So, in the if you were in a debate with other candidates, and the abortion issue was presented to you, how would you respond?
I would leave my personal beliefs out of it, but for the sake of those who are curious, personally, I believe that an embryo is life. But as President of the United States, my personal beliefs are irrelevant. I will be guided by the U.S. Constitution. And the issue of abortion is not in the U.S. Constitution. I do not believe the federal government should either encourage or discourage abortion. It should absolutely withdraw itself from this issue. It is not the prerogative of the federal government to be involved at all. And I am opposed to the federal government being used, being manipulated by any group of individuals, regardless of the side and regardless of my personal beliefs, to impose their will upon another. That is not the proper use of government. It does not come under its federally authorized powers.
Right. Well, as you know, Christine, I'm a very hardcore libertarian, all right? So you won't get many arguments from me, but what I'm going to do is place a little bit of a devil's advocate for the sake of our listeners.
Go right ahead.
Right? The question might be raised this way. Then I suppose if a woman wants the right, has the right to choose,
yes.
And the, I guess it's called at 9 months, right before she gives birth, she decides that she wants to terminate this pregnancy, and the child could in fact easily live, you know, would not, could be born at any time. What would you say to that? That if the person says, all right, no, abort the child, and the child is in fact, you know, could live independent of the mother at this point if the child was born, however, is still in the mother's womb.
I understand. I am going to refrain from sharing my personal beliefs on that and again return to the fact that the Constitution gives the federal government no authority to deal with even that which some may consider a crime. In this example that you are putting forth, those who would, and I think most people would agree, that that is a life capable of living on its own. Then, obviously, since the federal government has no authority to legislate on abortion, that is going to go back to states' rights, state sovereignty, and each individual state will be able to make those laws by its citizens, for its citizens. As a federal candidate for office, it is irrelevant.
Okay. Do you support Roe versus Wade?
I believe that all such legislation at the federal level, I do not even believe it should be being determined at the federal level.
Okay. All right.
As I said, my personal belief is that, you know, it is a life, but I do interpret such a choice as a natural right for each woman to make. And that is something that needs to be protected, but again, it goes to states' rights.
Right. Let's change course to a subject that is rarely ever approached, but in fact was approached by Congressman Ron Paul, and that's the issue of who prints our money, being the Federal Reserve. Would you like to comment on the current system that we have?
Certainly.
Of providing money to Americans, to printing our currency, and whether or not you support what we are doing now, and if not, what would you replace it with, and which type of standard would you have, if any?
Okay, thank you. Excellent question, Joe. I feel that the artificial control of our economy by the Federal Reserve is very dangerous to the stability of our nation. If anything, we are headed for an economic downfall, and they, ironically, are the cause. The current production of money, it provides no control over government spending in the ability to inflate. It might make people happy in the short run, but I assure them that the end does not justify the means, and it is only short term. And of course, you know, the huge congressional deficit spending is made possible by the Federal Reserve, and despite what it is actually doing to the value of the dollar. Where is the gold standard? We left that many years ago. I favor competing currencies. I favor repeal of the legal tender laws that now exist. And I would repeal the taxation on gold and silver. I do believe that the American people should have the freedom to buy and spend as they choose, using whatever system they wish. And I again believe that the free market would be able to come up with a currency of value, unlike what the U.S. government has done to our money. Again, those low interest rates that people pay right now, they seem positive in the short term, but we are ultimately going to suffer incredibly, and we already are seeing that downfall. We are a debtor nation. We owe foreign governments currency that we don't have, and all of that is because of the Federal Reserve. What, I would do away with it.
What is your opinion of the status of the American dollar internationally today?
Well, I think it's pretty sad. I think anybody can see that. And I'm also opposed to the use of federal government force and all the good reasons, again, that it takes for its military excursions, just because it is fearful of the growth of a currency in other nations, such as the euro, that might do better than ours. Once again, we better never forget that the U.S. government is force, and the reasons it gives us for what it is doing is not in our best interest. It is for the best interest of a few and their political agendas. Again, it's pitiful to see what is happening to the American economy, and I feel unless something changes with a real leader, not a Democrat or Republican, who will only maintain the corrupt status quo, unless we have a very strong leader, and I see myself as that leader, I do believe that we are in for some terrible economic suffering in this country.
I'm going to jump to a totally different subject and then come back again. If you are nominated, have you given thought to who your the vice president's running mate would be?
It is irrelevant in the Libertarian Party because it will be the delegates at our convention in 2008 who will determine my running mate. Unlike the other parties, it's not a predetermined thing. They will vote on it the night that I receive the nomination.
I see. Okay, I didn't know that. Thank you. Now, our deficit trade with China and other countries. Should we do something about that? I mean, is that a terrible thing or is that a good thing?
I believe in free trade across the board, and I believe that all of the shortcomings that we see right now and all of the concerns, I mean, you take a look at how much foreign nations actually own in our own nation, that's very sad. You know, we're selling that off and just to be able to decrease our debt, our national debt. I feel that if we truly based all of it on the free market and true free trade and took the federal government's involvement out of it entirely, all the problems would actually be solved. I do not want to see the government again deciding and using its power, wielding its power against other nations by unjustified raising of the taxation on their goods or taxing that of American business owners for the sake of some greater good. In the end, I feel that we will be the ones who suffer. I want the federal government removed from trade altogether.
Well, you know, there is a misnomer that we practice free trade. Other nations do not.
Exactly, and it's a big misnomer. We haven't practiced free trade for decades.
Yeah. For example, even our textile industry and agriculture, there are tariffs and whatever all over the place and subsidies which violate all of the free trade agreements that we have around the world.
Exactly, Joe. And it even is at the domestic level. It's the same in the United States. We shouldn't even be subsidizing our own. Whenever the federal government gets involved and starts to take the control of it, you can bet that it's going to fail miserably.
Yeah. Well, I'm originally from New York City. In fact, I'm a doo-wopper from the 1950s, so I'll give away my age. And I think there's only a few of us still alive, but I will not start to sing or anything like that. But an issue in New York, at least, and some issues are just regional issues that reach national prominence. And I'll give you one regional issue or very local issue that at times reaches some sort of national prominence, and that is Puerto Rico. Should Puerto Rico be a state or still remain as what they call a protectorate or territory of the United States?
Well, Joe, I cannot answer that. I would assume that should be up to the people of Puerto Rico.
Okay, very good. Well, because they receive all the subsidies and all of the benefits
well,
of Citizens, you know.
I will answer part of this. Part of your question could be answered. That's not an issue. As you said, it's quite a local issue there. I've certainly become aware of it, but it is not one that I've studied or researched. But I will tell you this. I am against foreign aid. I feel that we need to stop the foreign aid across the board to nations, no matter what nation we are talking about. One of the largest lobbyists in the United States is AIPAC for the nation of Israel. And I don't think that Americans realize just how many billions of dollars are going to foreign nations. It's not helping the American people one bit. Our allies can function on their own. They can protect themselves and their military. They can make their own military decisions. And as far as humanitarian aid, I would remind people we can barely seem to take care of our own. Look at the fiasco regarding Katrina. We need aid for the people of America, not through government welfare, not by government subsidizing, but by keeping that money in the taxpayers' pockets. I don't want to see their money going off all over the world. The so-called good causes and humanitarian causes, I would remind them, rarely does any dollar, we're lucky and maybe 20 or 30 cents of whatever dollar of government aid actually gets to help people. The American people are a compassionate people. They don't want to see people suffer. But I tell them the federal government isn't doing any good by giving it to the corrupt government nationwide or even when they mean well, those who would take it along the way. Big government doesn't work. It doesn't work in our own nation, and it certainly doesn't work by our big government giving it to other big government bureaucracies.
You know, I tell my friends who are looking for a way to make money, I said, let's buy a small island somewhere, have a very corrupt government, and then we can get billions of dollars in aid from the United States. That's the easiest way to make any money.
Yeah, that seems to be about the way that it goes. And from one government, we're actually out of the pockets of the American taxpayer. It goes to our government workers and goes to other foreign governments. That is disgraceful.
Yeah,
that is an abomination on the American people. That burden should be eliminated.
I'm going to get into conspiracy for a moment. Are you ready? Are you holding on for the conspiracy question?
Let's see.
Okay. Are you ready for it? Okay, here it is. I've recently read the book Day of Deceit, which talked about, in fact, documents the fact that we knew an awful lot about the Japanese and their movements prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor. We knew almost exactly the time and date that they were going to attack and prompted them to do so. And this is all documented as a result of the Freedom for Information Act. The book is quite revealing, and obviously if back then you would have suggested that we knew anything, we suspected at all that the Japanese may have been antagonistic towards us or may have been aggressive, been planning some aggression towards us, you would have been labeled a communist and probably shot, even in your own neighborhood. And then we find out that the opposite is absolutely true. I asked a question of a couple of presidential candidates, what was there sort of some complicity on the part of the government regarding the attacks on the World Trade Center on September 11th, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, what you shared with us first in regards to Pearl Harbor, I've also been reading about, most especially a mentor of mine, whom I have been reading since I was a teenager, is the American historian Gore Vidal. And he has raised some very serious questions in regards to that as well. That certainly gives me pause. And once again, I see that I do believe that at any given time in history, much of the truth and what is really happening in regards to our foreign policy is kept from the American people, not for our safety or for our security, but to protect the agendas of those who have the power. So I can appreciate what you just shared. I, too, have been reading along that vein. In regards to the World Trade Center and that tragedy, that murderous attack on America, I'm frankly going to tell you, I do not know. I, like you and the other listeners, have heard many people purporting different facts and raising questions, but I am not yet the President of the United States. I am not privy to the information that those in government, I would hope, do have. so I cannot answer that, Joe.
All right. Would you be amenable to an independent, totally independent investigation of the entire affair, the events, sort of similar to what the research that has been done on Pearl Harbor apply to the events at 9/11? Would you be agreeable to that if you were president, or would you prefer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I feel that there are a number of independent investigations that need to be done in this country. That is certainly one of the ones first and foremost. And I would also say I would investigate fully the 2003 invasion of Iraq and regards to the World Trade Center, regards to the invasion of Iraq, in regards to any government, any serious questions that the people of America have for our government. I would want a true independent investigation, and I would want prosecution of any governmental and military wrongdoing.
Okay, you know, Christine, I'll be the first to admit that I'm just not too smart. I've done a lot of things in my life, but I think I've done most of them out of stupidity, because people with a half a brain would not have done half the things that I've done. So I admit this. I admit this up front. So if you say, "Boy, that's a stupid question," it will not be the first time, you know.
Hey, Joe, often that attitude is what can take you very far in life. Don't listen to what other people have to say. Just go for it and pursue it.
You're very right, unfortunately. Let me ask you this question, and this is going to sound like a real stupid question, but I want people's opinions of what is going on, because, quite frankly, I'm reading all the time, and the more I read, the more I don't understand. Could you maybe answer, maybe me personally, if no one else is interested, who the heck is running our government today?
Not the American people.
That's for sure.
So who is running the American government? I feel that essentially it is operating out of that corrupt alliance between those with the political power and corporate America. We basically have one party. We start talking about the two major parties. We've got the banks party in this country. And I feel that it is big money interest, big corporate interest. And anyone who knows me and knows my platform knows I am certainly for free market. And capitalism has given us a wonderful lifestyle in America. So it is not in objection to that, but I certainly object to the alliance between corporations and the federal government. That is where all the corruption is coming from. That is where our international policies, as well as our domestic policies, are being made. The American people are forced to pay this government money, and that money is then used for their own purposes in order to make money off of us by keeping that which we should have in terms of the free market, in terms of pharmaceuticals, you name it, even in terms of our energy resources, from us so that they can maintain that control.
Okay.
So that alliance, that corrupt alliance, is what is governing this country. And until we break that by bringing third-party candidates into positions of power, nothing is going to change.
When you say third-party candidates, you mean those that don't owe their soul to the big money interest. Is that what you're saying?
Well, exactly, and for me, that is the Libertarian Party, because we are the party of principle.
Okay.
Joe, I have lived my entire life out of principle. Integrity, truth is my highest priority. That is why I find like-minded individuals, like-minded activists in the Libertarian Party. We truly are the party that can bring hope, because you know why? We want to give freedom to the American people. The beauty of what the American flag stands for, the beauty of what the respect that our nation used to have in this world is essentially gone. Instead, we have tens of millions who hate us, all because we are intruding into their parts of the world. The greatness needs to be restored, and that will only happen when the people, when this is truly a government of and by and for the people, to quote Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, we need to return to that. We need a representative government, and that's why I say the only hope, to me, is the Libertarian Party, because we need to get real people, real American citizens, who, as you said, haven't sold their souls. They are the ones who need to be representing us. We need to restore the republic. That will be done by individuals who truly will protect the U.S. Constitution and a literal interpretation of the Bill of Rights, and you're not going to get that anywhere else.
I agree. States' rights.
Fundamentally important to me. As a libertarian, as I told you, I want to shrink the size, power, and cost of the federal government, and that means turning many issues, many matters, right back to the state, where those people in that state can determine their laws, can determine what type of systems, even when we start talking about health care. Again, we got to stop this micromanagement that the federal government is doing, because it only costs big money and we get nothing in return. The smaller you can make the government control, turning things over to states' rights, turning it over to communities, the less corruption we're going to have, and the more good is actually going to be accomplished by government.
You know, there are those who perceive the libertarians as being anarchists, freewheelers, free everything, you know, and with a very negative connotation. Now, they might ask of you, well, what if a state elects to secede from the union? Would you give them that right?
Well, let's take that question back to the Civil War. And I would say, I've read a lot about the Civil War, horrible, most horrible war, and all of the deaths that happened from that. You know, in retrospect, looking at it, we had allowed them to secede, sure would have saved a lot of bloodshed and would have brought a lot more peace. It's an interesting question that you're posing there, Joe. I would certainly have to research it far more, but I think my comment that I just shared with you will show you where I lean.
Well, you know, let me suggest something. You're going to be interviewing me now for a second, but
right.
I feel strongly that if, in fact, the states were given the latitude to do what they want, there would be no reason to secede in the first place.
Yes, and I think that it would. You articulated that perfectly, Joe. Because once they feel free to govern themselves, there is a value and beauty of being part of the United States of America. And I don't care if you're in Colorado, as I am, and Joe, you in Oklahoma, and those in Hawaii, and those in Florida, those in Alaska and Montana, doesn't make a difference. Those in Georgia, we're all Americans. Why would we want to secede if we were truly given the freedom that we deserve as Americans? The federal government gets out of our lives, then our states, we can govern ourselves much more effectively. I take a look at some of the programs in which states are forced to subsidize people in their states. States are forced to comply with federal government mandates in order to receive their highway money. And we all know what a great success the federal highway program's been. You take a look at, ironically, the federal highway program, their war on poverty, their war on drugs, everything the federal government feeds out its money to the states to do fails. The states themselves, if they had the freedom to do so, free from the government. No, you're not going to get federal government money, and neither is the federal government going to extort the money from you, the American taxpayer, and your state. Then there needs to be no thought of succession. There needs to be no thought of that. When we hear people talking like that, and you talked about anarchists, and such good people have spoken with me about their concerns. Their concerns are there because they feel oppressed by the U.S. federal government. If we stop that oppression, as I would do, there would be no more talk of that. We could coexist peacefully and much better.
Okay, a hot topic for many states, and not only the Southwest, but this is a concern of many Americans, is obviously the immigration issue.
Yeah.
And the illegal immigration, what was termed, again, we're talking about terminology here, none of which is apt or descriptive or correct. But what people perceive to be the illegal immigration issue or the excessive immigration. Give me your take. What position should we take? You know, what should our attitude be? And what should be done to just alleviate some of the concerns and the pressures placed upon us?
Okay. Very good question, and certainly, as you said, it's affecting Americans everywhere. We've taken a look at the cases, recent case up in Pennsylvania I was reading about. I mean, as you said, it's not just Southwest affecting states across America. Having said that, you and I are both aware that there are Americans, there are American businesses, there are American cities, and there are American states that welcome the illegal workers. They rely upon them. There are also cities and states that are feeling that their way of life is being threatened by it. So, this is how I would approach it. I would allow peaceful immigration. It's not a matter of opening our borders, Joe. The borders are already open. That's obvious, you know, because the federal government's policy has failed miserably again. But I'm going to trust the free market to decide what would prevail and what would happen here. I would end all federal government subsidies. In the federal welfare that currently exists for illegal workers in this country, for non-citizens, then those entering our country are going to come for work and they're going to come for freedom. I want such peaceful immigration to continue. And also what that would do, I want the enforcement of the laws. All of us, as a libertarian, I'm very much strong on property rights, trespassing laws. All of those will be enforced. But you know what, Joe? If the federal government got out of this, really what essentially has become a war on immigration, then there would be no need for the human trafficking, the death, the suffering, and the violence that results in human trafficking. As somebody who opposes this insane war on drugs, I would end that. That would end the drug trafficking. That would cease from Mexico. There goes much of the violence that is happening. So once we allow travel across our southern border, they can enter, they can work, and they can leave our nation at will, but they're not going to get any federal welfare, and that's often given to them at the state level. States are forced to have to provide bilingual education. States are forced that their emergency rooms have to provide non-emergency care. They go under because of it. If we stop forcing the states and the cities to do this because of the federal government forcing them to do it, then those workers are going to come here to work. I want them to be able to cross freely, and in doing so, they're also going to be able to cross freely and go back to their own nation. They can come here for the growing seasons, and they can go back. And again, the misery, the suffering is going to stop. Now, I also want to bring up something that's very important to me. I want to see an end, and it goes along with my policy, to the immigrant detention centers, because right now we've got families imprisoned by private companies because of this federal government's insane immigration policy. For nothing more than seeking refuge in our nation, we've got families and we've got children imprisoned. And that's what those nice, quote, detention centers are. I would also want to make it legal for non-citizens to be employed, and I don't want any federal laws or sanctions against employers. That's insane. You know that the immigration, this whole thing, is being used to take more and more of our civil liberties. We've got talk of a national ID card. We've got talk of a database that employers have to use. Again, more and more of our civil liberties being used for another one of their, quote, wars, end quote.
I will assume that, I'm assuming that you are not enamored with a national ID card.
I am completely opposed to
it. Okay, we had a very interesting broadcast on that, and a gentleman who was an expert on that. In fact, he was live in the studio at the time. He was kind enough to travel to the studio and gave us about 40 good reasons why we should be against it, most of which I was unfamiliar with. It was fascinating. So I think we're with you there.
Sure. Joe, you have that on archive. I will appreciate listening to such a guest.
Yes.
I want to also add, I want states, going back to states' rights again, to have the power to determine the influences in their area. I don't want the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. making the decisions on immigration, okay? Because every state, every city has its unique characteristics, its culture, and its economy. So again, I'm going to give states the right to decide if they want to give welfare to them, if they do not, if they want to abstain, if they want to make give mandates to their businesses on illegals, they can do so. If they want to build a wall, they can do so. But again, it's going to be at the state and city level, and the federal government is going to be taken out of this altogether. Toward that also, I believe that there needs to be a reexamination of what it means to become an American citizen, and I do not believe that just by nature of being born within our borders, that person automatically is a U.S. citizen. So all of that needs to be reexamined. But I am for peaceful immigration. I just don't want the federal government involved in it at all.
What do you say to those very patriotic and nationalistic citizens of the United States that would tell you that, or remind you, that this particular town close to the border used to be a culturally European town and is no longer culturally European. It is now culturally Hispanic. And we want to take our town back. We don't want it to be a Mexican culturally Mexican or Latino town. And we want to take we want to take America back. How would you answer to that?
The free market would do it, and the majority of the citizens of that town felt that way. The free market would very quickly accomplish that. So I would say that if there are certain citizens who feel that way in a community, if the majority felt that way, then those non-citizens would not be able to be making a living. Again, end all of the welfare and all of the subsidies, and then it's going to be up to private enterprise whether they employ them or not.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was approached with that question 2 weeks ago on our program, and my response to them was, if that's the game we're going to play, you and I will have to leave, and we'll have to return to the Indians that were here in the first place.
It can be quite unrealistic, but if it were truly what the people of a particular community wanted, then the free market would make that happen.
Right,
but
I agree.
A war on illegal immigration, all it does is result in higher costs to you, the taxpayer, more violence, more harassment of American businesses, invasions of your privacy, and less freedom overall for American citizens. And you know what? It has no significant effect on immigration. It will fail.
All right, now, the big one, and probably one of the most... let me take two emotionally charged issues other than abortion. And the second one would be separation of church and state. Do you believe that there should be such a wall between church and state?
Absolutely, but I would like to see it enforced across the board.
When you say enforced across the board, what are you referring to?
Well, I don't really believe that we have such a separation right now. I look at the way, quote, churches, end quote, are able to operate free from taxation. Where are the days of the church? That's what, you know, in terms of the freedom from being taxed by being looked at as a nonprofit. I see what's going on and the big money that's being made through the use of religion. And I feel that that is an area of separation of church and state that's not really happening. It's not fair to the American people and American businesses. And I look at a lot of what's done in the name of religion is big business. In terms of the separation of church and state, in terms of our beliefs and the practice of our beliefs, I am for that 100%. But again, I don't want to see any one group using the power of the federal government to impose its will, its values, its morality upon any other. Again, pull the federal government out of it entirely. A lot of the question that you're posing to me comes when we talk about education.
That was my next question, by the way.
but it's very important that we keep that separation, because we are a nation of many faiths, and I respect everybody's faith. And that's why we need to keep that distinction. I'm just not sure that we do that, and I think that we show favoritism, those in government at times, to certain religious beliefs versus others, and I do feel that to be wrong.
Okay,
in terms of education,
excuse me, Christine, may I just interrupt just for 1 second, please?
Sure, go ahead.
Right. I'll use the term that is popular today, faith-based initiatives, and if you comment on that and then get into government schooling.
I oppose that entire program.
Okay.
And I've researched it quite a bit, and no.
You mean that church? I was going to start a church for wayward supermodels and get some faith-based initiative money, and you're going to put me out of business. Is this what you're saying?
I do not believe that the federal government should be taking money from the American taxpayer and then giving it back to charitable or religious organizations. No, I say keep the money in the American taxpayer's pocket and let each of us decide the charity or religious affiliation we want to give it to.
Well, there goes another business of mine down the drain. Christine, I don't know what I'm going to do with you, you know? Okay, now, schools, education, fundamentally, do we have education today? Do we have learning today? And if, whatever your position is, if you feel we should keep it the same and fortify it, or should we overhaul it altogether and give us your, what your definition of real education is and what it should be, even outside the confounds of what we have now?
We have a very sorry state of education in our country. I look at the United States of America, and I look at our education standards and what our young people know when they graduate from high school compared to internationally, and we are lagging so far behind. And I ask myself the question, why, with all the resources, with all the money, with the high standard of living, why do our children not learn? Well, that's because we're letting our children be educated by politicians and bureaucrats. We're letting the politicians and bureaucrats control our schools. The federal government has no business being in the, quote, education business. Once again, they're failing incredibly. What you find is government schools don't have the money, and they don't have the time to teach your children to even how to read very well, much less anything else. But there again, we get into, they may teach social theories, they may teach a revisionary history. They have the power when it's government education to do all of this to our children, and we have no say-so. So I believe that education should be taken out of the government's control. And I know a lot of people talk about vouchers as, you know, and that seems like it would be a step in the right direction, you know, and giving us choice. But in the end, such a program is going to lead to government control of private schools. And then it's going to make our private schools virtually identical with our government schools. So in itself, the voucher program is going to turn out to be no choice as well. I am for completely privatizing our education system. I want the government out of it entirely. If we repeal the income tax, you're going to be able to afford to put your children in any private or religious school that you want. And I have read statistics about private schools around this country that it costs very little, even now, even under this current system, to put a child in. And even in the most economically depressed areas of our nation, some of these schools, their children excel far beyond our middle-income children in the suburban schools. So again, the private schools are what work. Give it over to the free enterprise, and our children are going to be educated.
Okay, should there be any oversight as to what is taught in these schools by any governmental agency, or should they be free to run on their own? And then the second part of the question would be, should the schools be financed via the property taxes, which is very common today throughout the United States?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, to both of your questions. I do not want the government to be mandating what any school teaches children. I don't want the government financing it. I don't want the government, because whenever the government finances, it's going to dictate. All right? So they finance the school. They dictate what your children get taught. I want to do away with that entirely. What was your second question? I'm sorry.
Well, I think you've answered it. Should the government have any control as to what is taught, or oversight as to what is taught in the school system? And the other question was the property taxes.
I would repeal the... I believe, you know, we should repeal the property taxes that finance schools, and I would allow parents to use that money to choose the schools that fit their values, fit their academic standards, and I think that our children are going to come out far ahead. For those children, people will raise the question, and I think this would be very little. Very few parents could not be able to afford, in the free market, we truly had a free market and school competition, not to be able to send their children to the schools. But in the event that there are families who are suffering economically and felt that they could not afford it, frankly, I think they're going to find that they could, because they'd have a lot more money in their pockets after they have stopped being burdened with the, 47% of taxation. Once we eliminate that, they're going to have a lot of money. For those who don't, private charities for the few children of families that still can't afford them would be able to provide it. We're a generous people. We're not going to let anyone go without.
All right. Now, are you going to prevent me from lobbying Congress, my local Congress, from taking over the property, private property of others, because I have a shopping center that I can build and I can bring in more revenues than the property taxes on that house would bring.
I am going to free Americans from the seizure of their property without due process. I am disgusted by the abuses of eminent domain that I see happening across this country. And this is, these laws infringe upon business owners and what they're able to do, not only business owners, but private homeowners. This is disgusting. And we have to diligently work at every level possible to restore private property rights. We've got to be protected from this spread of this eminent domain abuse that's nationwide. Economic development never justifies the stealing of the rights to private property ownership, because that is guaranteed to the American people by the U.S. Constitution. And right now, what we see again is what I spoke of earlier, is that alliance between corporate America and the government, because private development must not be subsidized by the federal government's money or its power. That's what we see happening.
Okay, now, last question until we turn the subject over to something totally different, a hot subject, at least with me and on my program that we've talked about, term limits. If someone runs for office, should everyone be allowed one term in office so we turn over the people and people we have true representation, or should we allow people to run over and over and over again every 2 years?
Well, I have to think about that. You know, I've read a lot about term limits, but I would have to think about this.
Okay.
We probably would start attracting better people into Congress.
All right, you may want to give that some thought.
I really would want to research that.
Yes, please
more.
Do. Yeah.
I have conflicting immediate feelings in regards to that. And the fairness, you know, I guess really what it relates to is the lack, I feel, of fairness in the elections right now.
Right.
And the whole financing of elections and the, quote, electoral finance reform. Again, they put good names on it, but does it really result in that? So immediately your question makes those issues arise, and we're dealing term limits as an attempt to solve a much greater problem. So I cannot answer that,
okay.
But I'm going to study that more because it really relates to a lot of other concerns that make the American people feel that maybe that is the solution.
Okay. All right. I respect that. Now, you are one of how many vying for the Libertarian nomination?
Joe, I don't know. And I will tell you, I pay very little attention to the others who are seeking the nomination, because I do feel I am the superior candidate. I'm going to grow the LP across this nation. I am going to reach out to women. I am going to reach out to young people. It's already happening. And I think I'm going to attract a few more men into the party as well. I devote myself to traveling the United States, not only visiting libertarian conventions, but I am being invited to radio shows. I am being invited to political rallies and community groups across this country where I can speak directly to the American people. Already we estimate, based upon the radio shows that I have done, and these are AM radio shows in the United States reaching the American people, not just speaking to libertarians, that I have reached over 2 million Americans with the message of liberty, with the message of freedom. I am the only true peace candidate. Millions of Americans, if I bring this message to them, this message is going to resonate, and I'm going to be the best spokesperson for the Libertarian Party. So I give very little thought to others who are seeking the nomination. I expect to receive it because I know what I can do for the Libertarian Party, and the Libertarians who meet me and hear me know that also.
Right. Well, you must have people in your organization who keep their... the pulse of things, you know, they monitor the pulse of things out there. And could you tell us where you are? And I know this is a flaky question because there's no parameters to it whatsoever. where are you relative to either the other libertarians, if you know that, or within the Libertarian Party, or, you know, from what your goals were? I mean, everything's got to be measured somehow,
Well, it's all about measuring.
How do you measure all of this? I mean, with all of your energy and enthusiasm, I can't see how you could lose, but that's only my opinion. That doesn't say anything.
Well, thank you, Joe. Fortunately, in terms of measuring, quite a few other people feel the same way that you do, and I can say that because unilaterally, my campaign is being contacted, especially by young people, those in their 20s and 30s, who have actually shared with us that they are, for the first time in a number of years, going to vote and also want to volunteer solely because they were inspired by my campaign, by my candidacy. We have also had lifelong members of the other two, quote, major, end quote, parties contact us unilaterally, share with us that they have now become a libertarian because of my candidacy. Now, this is very little when we talk about the numbers since the campaign has just begun. But when you get those kind of communications coming in and it has just started, that is exactly what I intend to do on a large scale across the United States. I'm also getting a lot of feedback from women. The Libertarian Party needs women, and the best way to do that is to put an articulate spokesperson, put a female in a position of power, and there can be no better way of doing that than through our presidential candidate. So, and I don't feel that, a woman versus a man in terms of what I look at is the content, and both my platform and my ability to articulate that and attract people to the party surpasses all others.
Okay, well, we're winding down towards the end of our program. We've been transmitting now for nearly 57 minutes of our 60 minutes, so we're getting close to the end of our broadcast. I'd like to give you a minute or two, but no more than 2 minutes, please, because we'll run out of time.
All right.
Christine, if you would like to make a closing statement to our audience and also indicate to them how they would reach you, how they would contribute to your campaign, and any other information you think would be pertinent to the support of your candidacy.
Thank you, Joe. I would invite everybody who has listened to this interview and who finds what I have to say intriguing, agree or disagree on particular issues, I want you to take a look at my entire platform. You will find that at libertarianforpresident.com. Again, my campaign website is libertarianforpresident.com. And I would ask you, as an American citizen, to be a supporter and a voter of integrity. And I'm going to ask you in this election to vote your values. Do not be a voter of integrity, because when you vote for either of the other two parties, you are voting for the corrupt status quo to remain. We need to take this country back. It is time for a people's America. And I fundamentally believe that we will be able to do that. It is going to be a process, but make a difference now. Visit libertarianforpresident.com. If you find you agree with me more, even if you disagree on certain issues, but more than either of those other two parties, which promise you quite a bit, but they never do it once they're elected, then I'm asking for your support. I'm asking for your communication. I'm asking for your ideas, your volunteerism, and I'm asking everyone right now who feels I'm a good candidate, even if you haven't decided who you're going to endorse this early, but if you like the choice and you feel I'm a good candidate, I'm asking for your contribution. Whatever you can afford right now, a grassroots campaign will let me get to another state and speak to more American people with this message of liberty.
Okay, Christine, thank you very much. Our time is nearly up. I want to thank you very much for taking your time, your personal time, on a Sunday afternoon to be interviewed on Liberty Talk Radio. I'm sure you have inspired many people. You certainly have inspired me, and with your energy and enthusiasm, I think you have a real shot, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Joe, thank you.
Thank you very much, and good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Christine Smith, nomination for the Libertarian Party presidency, and she certainly has the will, the enthusiasm, and the gumption to get ahead, and what she says is very interesting. I'd like to hear of the candidates talk about our liberties, because when you do, it reaches on and every component of American life, every issue is affected by that. And what is really interesting is if you listen to the major party candidate, you find that that really isn't the case. You never hear them talk about liberty. They'll talk about issues and say, well, more needs to be done. More involvement by the government, basically. And her comments were very, very refreshing. We want to thank you very much, Christine, and good luck to you. And now, on to our bumper song again, and the closing of our program. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. Let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to area code 903-551-2186. Again, that's comments at libertytalkradio.com, or your questions at 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.